Digital marketing is a relatively new term in the grand scheme of things. It didn't even enter academia until the late 90s when we first started creating and offering courses in e-commerce, followed by social media. Today, digital marketing has far and away overtaken traditional marketing efforts, accounting for about 75% of all marketing expenditures. Companies that ignore this truth do so at their own peril, because to lean too heavily into the old could easily spell extinction. Roll the intro. You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today. My guest today is Mason Gray, owner of Colder Marketing in Amarillo, a boutique digital marketing agency. Welcome to the show, Mason.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Let's start off by just, let's getting to know you a little bit better. Tell us who you are, how you got here, and where you're going.
Yeah. Well, like you said, Mason Gray with Colder Marketing. And my background was photography and video, and was doing that for the first 15 years of my professional life. And then whenever I was down in Dallas-Fort Worth, I had a great event that I got to, you know, make some good money on. And they spent like $300,000 on Facebook and Instagram ads. And it just opened up a whole new mindset of what I should be doing for clients versus doing video. I should be doing the marketing and adding the video as value. And, you know, everybody out there, you know, thinks they need a good story and, you know, pictures and videos, but at the end of the day, they don't know what they're doing on the marketing side. And so that was exactly how I got into this business back in 2017 and haven't looked back since. So, that's exactly what I've been doing.
So why were you doing video in the first place?
Well, so photography, I've been shooting, like, I'm fourth generation photographer. My family started Gray Studio in 1910. My great granddad did in 1910 in Amarillo. And so whenever I was 16, I started shooting photography. And me and my father, we knew that we had to evolve or die always. And so it became evolving into digital photography from film. And then it turned into finding video workshops. And so I went to LA for just a week and brought back video of how I would shoot with DSLRs. And we were doing commercial work and weddings, and we were doing anywhere between $300,000 and $400,000 a year in portraits and video work here in Amarillo. And I needed to expand the studio. And so I wanted to go to, I brought my wife and daughter to Fort Worth, and just started walking into agencies down there and then also into other businesses and offering my video services. And that took off from there. I got to work with some really cool brands like Standard Meat, that cuts all of Outback Steakhouse's meat. I actually landed that one from sitting at a coffee shop in Fort Worth, and their web designer saw that I was editing video and liked what he saw. And then he gave my card to the owner of Standard Meat, and they did all of the pepperonis, for example, for Pizza Hut in the 90s. So, I mean, it was ridiculous money. And so that's how I got my start into that. And then another agency used me for the largest light display in the country for Christmas, called Enchant, at the Texas Ranger Stadium parking lot. They had 20,000 people a night, and they had a full ice skating ring outside with a bridge over it, 2 million LED lights, huge 100-foot sculptures. And, you know, I'm over here shooting 3 days a week for a month, and that's the one that spent like $300,000 on just their ads alone. And that's what made, I mean, just that marketing, I was just doing the video and they were using the videos for the marketing, and it was just insane the amount of population that they had coming in. So yeah, I was shooting video because I loved it. I was passionate about photography. Video fed right into that, and it was a full circle of, I learned something on this side and I got to use it on this side. And then whenever I found out about the digital marketing side, I was like, well, now I can make it to where I'm actually helping the businesses not just tell their story, but actually make them money and get them ROI or ROAS, so return on ad spend. And so, and most businesses don't even know what ROAS is still. You know, they think that posting on their Facebook page is getting them something every day. I've met business owners here in Amarillo who literally pay somebody in-house $3,000 a month just to be posting on their pages, and they're not, I mean, they get one like, two like, and it's just crazy, and they don't know what they're doing. And that's about, I would say that's 90% of the population of business owners. They're just throwing money and hoping something will work. They're looking for something that will work.
You mean they're doing it because they heard other people are doing it, and therefore they probably ought to be doing it too?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so they're just following. It's just the, you know, sheep following sheep most of the time. And then you have the outliers who see, well, somebody's doing something different because these guys have hundreds of thousands of views on one video and tons of engagement, tons of comments. And this place over here, their competition has nothing. Well, the difference there is paid ads. And so if you're not doing paid ads, you're missing out on probably 90% of the market.
So aside from that 1 week crash course in LA, are you pretty much self-taught?
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a desire to learn something, it's online. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't need to go to school. If you need to go to school for certain things, obviously, but even if you're going to school, you need to be getting on YouTube, and you need to be getting on like school, skool.com. They have a ton of even free courses on there to be able to choose from. There's so many different places to get knowledge. And then you have ChatGPT, obviously, and Gemini and all the different AIs to be able to ask. But you know, whenever it comes to learning, if you don't want to learn, you're not going to learn it. So you have to have that want to always be growing. Otherwise, you aren't. I mean, you're going to have a job for the rest of your life, and that might not even be the case in the future anyways. So it's one of those things where, like, if you want to make it in this world, you have to learn, and you have to take that upon yourself, and nobody else can tell you to do that. So
What was it like breaking into the business, first with video and then digital marketing? I mean, in my mind, that seems like it might already be a crowded space. Or was there simply still a lot more demand than there was supply?
There is never enough of any niche that I've seen. Like, I know that right now, if you're a photographer right now, there's absolutely a way to make money just as a photographer right at this moment in time, if you're good at marketing. If you are going to be like everybody else and just go out and hope that you're going to be a good photographer, you know, hope to have a photography business, you're not going to have a photography business. You know, I was in a workshop this was in Brooklyn. I was learning from a photographer named Laura Jade. She was 24. She was shooting photography for like Vogue magazine and all these beautiful, amazing images. And so I went to her workshop back in like 2015, and she had a Vogue magazine retoucher also there. So one day it was learning from her. The next day it was learning from the retoucher. But what we were learning from her wasn't necessarily the photography. We got to learn that, but 85% of this is business. 85% of it is business. Even if you have talent, it's still 85% all business. So if you're an artist, you're either going to be starving if you're not thinking 85% business. If you don't do the business part, you're not going to have anything. So whenever I say business, I'm talking marketing, thinking outside the box. How are you making the money? Where's the money come from? All that. That's literally what she was talking about. She said 5% is me getting to actually shoot photography. And then the rest is me, you know, doing everything else. So it was really cool to see that, you know, you have to choose to be a business person in photography. You have to choose to be a business person in video. You have to choose, it doesn't matter what your industry is. You have to choose that first. Well, you have to learn those things. If you feel like you need to learn something new, you better be looking at it online.
So what year did you actually make the transition from video only to doing digital marketing services?
So 2016 is whenever I shot. So it'd be 2017 that I switched over to digital marketing only. So instead of me looking for a new project every single week or day, I should say, to, you know, whether it's $10,000, $5,000, $20,000 to shoot a video, it became looking to work with business owners to get paid monthly and get that monthly recurring revenue coming in and just run ads. So if I came in, for example, to a business here in Amarillo and I was able to make them money every single month, even if it was the same ad running every single month, my process is what they're paying me to make them money. It's not even about how many ads I'm running. Do you need 20 new ads a month, or do you just want money coming in the door? And that's where, when people, when you think about on this side, going from video to marketing, I'm not trying to do a new project every week. I'm trying to help business owners actually make a real living and not worry about it. They don't want to make a new video every week. They don't want to get on camera. They don't want to have to plan for somebody to come in. They want a process that's going to make them money. And so that's where I saw that. And then I switched completely over from video to digital marketing in 2017. I had three companies actually try to hire me. For each one of them would have been $10,000 a piece videos. And I said no, because I knew the amount of hours I was going to have to spend on storyboarding, editing, shooting. And I mean, that would have been, you know, 30K for that month. But at the same time, I saw, okay, I could do that, make that 30,000, or I could spend all this time by just walking in to business owners, show them what I do, tell them what it does, and sell it. And that's what I did. And so that December is whenever I shot that Enchant Company's event. And then February is when I literally took an online digital marketing course from a digital marketer guru who was doing stuff with chiropractors and dentists, is what he focused on only, by getting leads for them. And the course was literally only $50, but it took me 2 weeks. That's how much information was there. It took me 2 weeks to go through. And of course, he had upsells to be able to get the next stuff. And later on, I think I went ahead and bought it, and would have been like maybe another $1,000. So after that $40 course, I went, and that next month I started walking into places, and I landed a auto repair shop for $1,500 a month. No contracts. They pay for the ads. And they were one of 40 at the time. And so he gave me, after it worked that first month, he gave me the names of like five other managers of other locations. And I went and got each single one of them. And so right then and there, I was already off to the races with five times 1500. Boom. Right there. First month of even going out and talking. And then the owners met me at the sixth location of all of them and said, hey, you can do this with everybody. Like literally, like while we were there in the meeting, his manager's getting leads from my ads, and they're asking when they can come in and stuff. And so he said, okay, you can go to all of my shops for $1,000 a month each, but you have to go to each one of them to talk. Well, I went and got like 30 of them in like over the next 3 months. And just from that one company, I was making 30K a month. And so, you know, it's one of those things. It's not about just one thing though. There's so many different ways. I mean, I could have been selling Google ads. I could have been selling all kinds of stuff that could have possibly worked for them. It just so happened that is what was making them money. It wasn't the video. I didn't even go shoot video at these other locations.
Your rise to success was meteoric. I mean, most people who venture out into a new line of business that has a heavy sales component, you know, getting just that first client is a big deal. But those are pretty lean months in there if you only have one client. But you exploded to 30 in no time.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I probably walked into, I walked into multiple places. I ended up getting a furniture store, a chiropractor, a construction company somehow. And it was one of those things where, you know, if the risk is nothing, you know, a business owner, I mean, just for example, in this room, there's probably, I don't know, what do you think? A few thousand dollars worth of equipment, obviously, you know, let's say there's 10K in here. Well, that's a risk supposedly to business owners. Well, they have to have the equipment though. Well, then you come in there and you're supposedly cheaper than a part-time employee, which is $1,000 a month plus ad spend. You know, I'm no longer a risk. I'm looked at like, oh, okay, so $250 a week, I pay my other guy $800 a week to just work the front desk, and then he's not making me money. It's crazy. Now, I'm not trying to take that front desk person's job. What I'm trying to do is let them do their job, not try to do something they're not good at. And so it's one of those things where it's about how you position yourself. It's about your willingness to be, you're going to get no's. Who cares? Like, how many people are going to say no to you to work with you? it's not a big deal. You just move on to the next. It's not about who doesn't want to work with you. It's about finding the people that do want to work with you.
So you've told me in past conversations that you office primarily at a coffee shop and you've got zero overhead. And should I take that also to mean you have zero employees?
I actually do have, an assistant employee I've been training him since last May. Just I'm wanting him to be able to do everything that I do, not just one little thing. So he's been learning a lot of different things. The ad side, he learned in 2 days. Everything else is, you know, I've got, you know, 20 plus years of experience in video photography, web design, funnel building, AI automations, messenger bot automations, all this different stuff. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm using it all the time. It's just the fact that there's certain clients that need something different. Every industry needs something different. So I've been training him. So that is overhead, but I mean, one client pays for that. You know, and he's also been able to sell. I've taught him how to sell over the phone. He made probably 100 phone calls and landed two clients for $1,000 a month, one in Georgia and then one, I think, in Tennessee. And so just cold calling, not even leads, just cold calling. And so, I mean, it definitely is definitely worth it, if that makes sense. But yeah, I primarily office out of coffee shops like Palace Coffee or Roasters. And if I'm out of town, like I'll you know, go to a coffee shop or McDonald's. I don't care where. I'll go to a nice restaurant and have a drink. I don't care, and work on my laptop. It's awesome. I mean, I'll work at Savour here in Amarillo or Drunken Oyster or Metropolitan, and they're cool because it's during the day and I'm at the bar making them some money and getting you know, some appetizers and having a good time. So that's a great place to find clients. Like when you're there, I mean. Right now, I can actually say, okay, for example, today, after I left your class, went to Palace Coffee here in Canyon, was sitting there, and I got a phone call from another walk-in, the Emerald Furniture Exchange that I was telling you about earlier. So Emerald Furniture Exchange is one of my clients. I'd walked into that location, I think, in August. The owner was there, showed him what I did, showed him what I could do, and sold it. Well, he just sent the owner of Pampa Furniture Exchange my information. And while I was at Palace, since our break this morning, Pampa Furniture Exchange became a client. Like, put me on their Facebook page, send me their credit card, everything since I've been gone. And I mean, I'm not even going to have to go to Pampa. I'm going to get to use the footage that I shot here and just make money. And I'm going to make her stupid money. And so, yeah.
That's great. So you're a digital nomad.
Yes, I am.
Man yeah. about town, right?
Yeah. If I have four kids, so if I didn't have a family, I think I'd travel just the world doing this and not worry about anything. Just do this, which you can do anywhere. I just can't travel with four kids all the time.
I noticed on your website you have a chat function. Is that an AI bot or is there a human behind there?
No, it's an AI. So it's an AI conversation bot that can be given more documents to go off of. It learns what you want it to talk about, you know, where you want it to direct. You can make it to where it's a more salesy AI chat. You can make it to where it's more just about giving out good information and getting their lead so that you can call them personally. There's all kinds of different ways, but that same, and that's through Go High Level, by the way, is what I'm using there. And that same software, they also have voice chats, voice AI. So it's where you can call that number and also talk to AI. And it sounds hokey and it sounds like, okay, well, this AI is going to sound awful. Guys, this is the start, and it still sounds really good where it's at already. I mean, it has verbal pauses. Like, it's crazy how close it's getting. And how many phone calls does a business miss because they don't answer the phone? Well, if this answers every phone call, you just made the workload way less on the person that's supposed to be answering those phone calls, and it can schedule appointments. It can direct them to any website. It can send them a text message. And it records the entire conversation and gives a summary at the end for the owner. Now, the other side of this is that now they have outbound. So that was inbound. Now they've made it to where there's outbound too. So let's say you're running ads and you're getting leads. Instead of a person having to call those leads, you can now set the outbound to call the leads. And it's all AI. It's crazy. It's so crazy. And so, yeah, it's AI.
No shame there.
No.
After the break, we'll take a look at the kinds of activities and clients Mason works with every day and why digital marketing has become such a powerful force in business.
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in 5 areas, you can fast-track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AA CSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
Welcome back, Mason. Let's talk about what it's like to be a digital marketer in a field that changes so rapidly. Tell us about, well, the things that you have to be learning to stay on top of it, because it doesn't stay the same. You know, hardly a week goes by without something new coming along. And then let's talk about the types of clients you have.
Yeah, well, whenever it comes to the changes, you know, sometimes there are absolutely drastic rollouts. For example, with Meta, I want to say it was IO 14. I can't remember. Back in the day, Facebook ads were like the Wild West. You could target everything. It was insane. And then, you know, they took out all these targeting options because they went to the government came in and, you know, they're doing all this different stuff. Well, they just had to scale back their targeting options. That doesn't mean that the platform stopped working. It just means that you couldn't target specific groups of people as well as you used to. That's literally it. Now, their algorithm is so smart to find your audience naturally. And it doesn't mean that you can't use interest. It doesn't mean that you can't use targeting options. It's just the fact that Facebook is super smart. They're absolutely listening. I mean, it's our devices listen to us. So whenever you are talking about something and then all of a sudden you're starting to get hit with ads, yeah, it's because your phone can hear you. I mean, it's right there. It's smart. It's gonna show you the ads that it thinks that you're going to be interested in. And so staying on top of the new things that are rolled out. And the only reason I'm talking so heavily on Meta is that that's my bread and butter. You know, you've got Google, which is like the phone book, and it's also great for service industries. But, and that's because, you know, if you have an electrical problem or your AC went out or your heater went out, you know, that's an emergency. You're looking for somebody right now. You look it up on Google, and that's a great place to run ads. But if you're, let's say, a tire, wheel, and lift shop, and you're wanting to showcase the fact that you guys do tires, wheels, and lifts on Facebook, that's why I'm using Facebook. It's like a billboard / magazine that's in the person's face. Now, the changes, going back to the changes, for me, it's just learning. And that's why I have a job. That's why my business isn't going anywhere. Even with AI coming, people still don't know how to implement it. And so you have to learn to be able to implement it. That's all you are. You're an executor. So the challenge there, it's not crazy. It's just taking the time to see what they rolled out new and test it and make sure that things are working and move on. So you were, what was your other question?
Well, what types of services are you offering?
So number one is paid ads is the number one thing. It's immediate return on investment for most companies. I mean, every industry is different. I highly go after brick and mortar companies because they're needing new clients usually every month to feed their store. And so like Furniture Exchange, for example, auto repair shops, restaurants, those are brick and mortar places and they need customers. monthly coming in. So always on top of people on Facebook is where I'm at. When it comes to other services, web design, I do that for e-commerce and brick and mortar places, businesses. I also do video and photography on the, like, for clients that need it whenever it comes to marketing, but it's not like something that I'm like, hey, I'm going to go shoot commercial this week. It's for marketing. So there'll be a marketing client, and then I charge them extra if it's something crazy, like if it's some elaborate storyboard. Otherwise, if it's something that I can go shoot in 20 minutes, I don't even charge them. It's just part of that monthly. So I also do business development with a lot of my companies that I work with. They don't know what they don't know. And so whenever I come in and I ask them, you know, simple things like, okay, what are your specials? What are your deals during the week? And, you know, what are you doing to bring right now already that's working? That's another thing. If something's working, why would you stop doing it? So if it's not working, that's when you stop doing it. So coming in and, you know, using like TikTok ads, you can go that route, but Amarillo's just, it's just not there. It's still such a young crowd, and it doesn't mean that they don't have money, but TikTok's interests and everything that you can target, the targeting options just aren't as good still as Meta's yet. And whenever it comes to the demographic that's paying customer usually is a little bit older. And so, you know, 28 up is usually where I'm trying to target usually anyways. But yeah, those are the main services. I can do AI chatbots and stuff like that, voice, AI systems, build funnels for companies. But the main thing that gets me in the door to really help a customer is the paid ads.
And what about mobile apps or even seemingly old school email blasts?
I know that you can absolutely make money with both of those for customers. So just starting off with mobile apps, I mean, it has to serve a purpose. Nobody wants to download a new app on their phone. They just don't. It's unless it really serves a purpose continuously. Otherwise, you would just, if you're a business and you're wanting to have something that's online, you would just use your web-based app. It would be just a web-based website and get them there. So if you spend a ton of money making an app that is not necessarily something that somebody uses all the time, it's very hard to get somebody to like, do you want to download a new app right now on your phone? No. And so that's where I stay away from mobile apps. And I actually built an app back in the day it was called Just Move, and it was for dancers like hip hop and freestyle and all that. And I had sold 7% of the company for like $400,000 whenever I was building it. And it cost me $40,000 to build the MVP. And then it cost me $200,000 for the next iteration. This is back in like 2014. That was such an expensive era. Now, I mean, I know a guy right now that's using AI and he's self-taught, and he's building out a mobile application, and he's already gotten, I think, $300,000 invested, and he's doing it all himself just using AI. It's insane. Now, going to, you said that, and then the
email blasts.
Email blasts are cheap if it's done right. You know, at the end of the day, email blasts, what you're looking for is to get your, it's targeted more for remarketing. So if you can get people to get to your website, for example, and you do have the so-called newsletter, it's not so much the newsletter, it's about showing what's on sale. It's easy to click the button, send it out to your mass email. Let's say the percentage of people that actually click is, you know, 2%. I mean, if you can get it high, if you have a high open rate, that's huge. For them to actually click a link is what you're looking for. It's not for everybody. It's not for every business either. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. It just depends on your industry, I feel like.
So tell us about some of your clients.
Yeah. Let's see here. So some of my clients, I've got, I really went hard in the automotive, custom automotive realm, you know, working with guys who do tint and audio, tires, wheels, and lifts, and just regular auto repair. And the reason why is because everybody has a car and they're always looking for new work, and that customer always needs to be advertising. But they're it's fun to shoot that kind of stuff too. And then I have a ton of footage to be able just to pull from that I've done through the years. So I don't even have to go usually shoot. That's one of my industries that I go after. You know, working with business owners like that, they, you know, they're mom and pop shops. You know, I don't really go after corporate stuff. You know, I got a call today from a big corporate dealership group that has like 18 dealerships while I was on break. Also, looks like we're going to start working together on one of their dealerships to start off with. But, you know, that was from a walk-in. That was from my assistant, actually, in Montana, walking into one of their locations and meeting them. That's it. Not from an email, not from an ad, just basic cold walk-in. And building my, like, that's how I built my company, is literally cold walk-ins. It's not even from any ads. I do run ads for my own. I do land clients that way. But whenever it came to the foundation of just walking in, there's nothing better. They're a captive audience. They're not going to hang up on you. You're right there. So you get a yes or no on that. So, but other industries that I go after that are kind of fun, med spas. I've got some med spa clients, really nice restaurants, federal credit union. Let's see here. I'm just thinking right now. It's so funny being on the spot thinking. I've got consulting / engineering company that I just finished a website for that we're doing marketing for soon. I got a water wheel company, construction company, roofing, all these different industries. Every single one of them have their own problems. But the solution is pretty simple. It's just a formula.
So are you saying that it's almost cookie cutter, that you can basically use the same method, the same techniques for anybody?
Yeah, there's definitely, I would say, nuances between each industry that you have to change. But for the most part, there's multiple cookie cutter methods for each one of these that you could have. So instead of just one cookie cutter, you can have 10 cookie cutters, and it's the same, but it's, you know, it's easy. It's the same thing across the board. It's just a matter of how you utilize it. And so, you know, some companies, they don't want leads. They want messages only in Facebook. I don't even have to use another software. All I have to do is run message ads on the backside of Facebook to send it straight into their messenger.
Do you ever use AI to write social media content?
I mean, you can absolutely do that. It looks very AI-ish usually, unless you prompt it to get it away from that. There's some language there that you can do where, like, I like to do this a lot where I say, okay, don't give me 99% of the normal stuff you would ever give anybody else. And it's usually very different. And if it does sound AI-ish, I'll say, this sounds like garbage and sounds like AI. Make it sound like it's a human and give it some slang, you know, terminology, like can mess up on spelling, that kind of stuff. So that changes, you know, it's not about having the most professional ad copy either. People want real. They're tired. Like, just if you have a $50,000 video versus a, you know, raw iPhone footage of a guy talking about his product and what it costs versus this really premium B-roll looking cool footage, you know, the iPhone product, regular raw placement, will probably do better. So it's the same thing with copy. Sometimes no copy at all is even better, just the ad itself with the offer. And so people don't have time. We just don't have time anymore. Like, there's too much going on. So whenever you're looking at an ad, and do you really want to read, you know, a thousand character prompt, or, you know, a thousand characters is not that much, but 1,000 words. I don't want to read a whole dictionary on your ad. The only way that works is if you are super interested in that subject and they've obviously seen that you are, and they might retarget with you. They might retarget you with that ad.
What about e-commerce solutions? What kind of things have you done with that?
So e-commerce wise, using Shopify Shopify is such an animal. It is by far the go-to for building a website that's going to be e-commerce. There's so many things that on the backside that you can utilize. And they have apps, internal apps that you can purchase to plug in straight into it. There's even AI like Lovable now integrates with Shopify, where AI literally builds the website. So you're not stuck just with the templates slash customization just from the templates. If you can code, if you can actually code, you can build something amazing in Shopify. But that is absolutely the best e-commerce solution. There's obviously Squarespace, which is drag and drop website also. But whenever it comes to full on, if you're going to be selling, I highly suggest Shopify always. They're just made for it, just completely made for it. But yeah, you can use Printful to do print on demand, where you're doing your own t-shirts, hoodies. They have over 300 something products. I'm talking towels, 40 by 60 canvases, down to buttons, to shoes, to bags, to all kinds of stuff. And they literally print whatever design on that, and they do embroidery. They have three different print options, but it's print on demand, so you don't have to buy anything in bulk. So you can set up a website, use Printful that goes straight into Shopify or Squarespace, put your designs online, maybe buy a few of those to shoot some photos for product images. But then whenever you go to my website and you purchase, they just print it and send it straight to the customer. And you make the middle of whatever you're charging versus what they're charging you. You don't have to buy wholesale anymore. It's crazy to start a business. So anyways, but yeah, highly suggest that. I'm trying to think of any other e-commerce that I would suggest. You know, funnels are huge. The one product funnel is huge. So if you have a product, just one product, and you ran ads to that landing page, let's say it's a book, for example, and you're trying to sell your book. Well, you don't need to send them to a website with all this extra stuff. You send them to a landing page where they're captive for one product, and they can either buy the book or the Audible, and that's it. Just doing it that way, there's millions of dollars going on through there. Probably a billion. There's probably billions actually going through there using like ClickFunnels, Go High Level. I'm trying to think of another one. Maybe Thrivecart. There's multiple softwares, and that's another thing. There's no right or wrong on any of them. It's about what are you using and what are you good at. Like, just do it.
So if you're building a Shopify enabled website, are there any limits to the number of products you can post, or is it infinite, like an Amazon?
Yeah, well, so I mean, obviously Amazon, I mean, that would be, if you're doing something like Amazon, that many products and stuff, you're gonna be wanting, you know, developers, and you're gonna have to have a custom website. But I don't know with Shopify, I don't know if you could even get to a maximum number on there. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you had 10,000 products, you'd just be fine.
And what about social shopping? Have you ventured down that path yet?
It's huge. I know it's there. I haven't really gone into the, it's just not my circle, my bubble of what I've been going after, just because working with e-commerce stores, it's such a hit and miss of who's making money and not making money when it comes to trying to work with clients. Now, if I were to do it myself, yeah, all day long, there's like Whatnot. My wife uses Whatnot all the time. And then obviously, so, you know, where that's live shopping, but, you know, using Facebook, actual shopping, and Instagram, it's there. People are making millions off of that too. It's just something that you'd have to learn and go with. It's about trying, testing stuff out.
When we come back, we'll look into the crystal ball. Where's this all going, Mason, and will it ever slow down?
There's a reason why our programs are rated so highly by independent reviewers. We are committed to continuously improving what we do. Whether it is in the classroom or online, the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business strives to stay ahead of the curve, not behind it. Join us in the classroom or online and see the difference. We're WCSB accredited and among the most elite business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT business degree in hand. For more info, find us online at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2525. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we are here to help you reach for those stars.
In the nearly 30 years since I first taught our course in basic e-commerce, much has changed. Amazon was still a small company that sold books, CDs, and DVDs, operated by a not-yet-rich guy in Seattle. Social media didn't come along for a few years, and no one knew what Friendster, MySpace, and Facebook would usher in. Smartphones didn't arrive until 2007, and the variants of e-commerce, meaning social commerce and mobile commerce, came later. And now we have AI, with the latest new thing being agentic AI, meaning AI portals like ChatGPT will now serve as shopping intermediaries, connecting users with sellers. It's hard to keep up with all of this. Mason, in a nutshell, how do you keep up with all the change? Every day, it seems like there's new buzzwords. You mentioned ROAS, and 2 years ago, nobody was saying ROAS, and now it's talked about quite a bit. And if you aren't talking about it, you better get on with it. There's new acronyms, new metrics, new everything. How do you keep up with all this?
This is a perfect analogy for what you just asked. So I get my youngest daughter is deaf, and I get asked all the time, like, how are you keeping up with her sign language? And, you know, how much are you learning? It's the same kind of thing. And I tell people all the time, I keep up with what she needs to know. I don't need to know more than where she's at right now. I need to keep up with her on her journey. And so that's where with me, yeah, if I come to a business, I can be an expert at everything, or I can be okay at everything, or I can be a master at a few things, you know? And so it doesn't mean that I know everything. It just means that I know a lot about certain things. And so whenever it comes to keeping up, there's always going to be somebody out there that knows something more than you, and that's what you're hoping for, so you can learn. And so whenever it comes to AI and all the new stuff that's coming out, I don't have to necessarily learn it all. That's everything that's happening, but I'm always just keeping my finger on the pulse to see what needs to be done, if it's going to add value to my business, if it's going to add value to my customers, if it makes sense on, is it going to keep things simple? Is it going to simplify things, or is it going to complicate things? It's one of those things where you don't have to do everything. Most people aren't even doing 1% of what they should be doing for their business. And so if I can come in and clear a space out of that mess for them, and they're like, holy cow, this feels so much better, I'm doing my job already right there. I'm not trying to save everybody's world. I'm trying to just make it better. And that's the cool thing is that means that AI is always going to be growing. New stuff is always going to be happening. You don't have to know how to do it all. But guess what? If something new comes out and you don't know how to do it, all I got to do is get on ChatGPT or YouTube and find out how to do it.
What do you think about this agentic AI? Because basically ChatGPT signed contracts with Etsy and Shopify. I think Walmart got on board pretty quickly too, so that you can be on ChatGPT using it as a search engine for products. And then all of a sudden you can buy it right there without having to jump somewhere else.
It's perfect. It's one of the reasons why I think Google is going so hard with their AI search. It's on everything. Like, you can be on a website and the button literally says Ask Gemini at the top. And you can ask, I had to use it yesterday for a website, and I was like, I don't know where this is at. Like, I have no idea. And it literally brought me straight to it. I didn't even have to do anything. I didn't look anything up. I just asked Gemini right there on the site. So if you go to Google and you're using AI as your search engine, it's huge. So that's another little power play that business owners can all obviously use, just like Walmart's going to be doing and getting their products out there. But you can also use it as an SEO engine for your own local business. So going in there and playing with ChatGPT and talking to it about your business will give ChatGPT like, oh, this is the answers I've been looking for this thing. So you can actually SEO on these different AIs as well. Google, since you're already ranked, like I looked this up the other day for since Party Stop is one of my clients here in town for liquor stores. I just looked it up on ChatGPT, and ChatGPT actually came up with Party Stop for me first of all the different liquor stores. Is that because it can hear me and I talk about Party Stop every once in a while? It could be. I don't know what it would show up on yours. And so it's one of those things that that's a huge thing. I used it for the first time whenever I was looking for a, it was clean, healthy food downtown, and it popped up Faves. Anyways, I never heard of it. And I used ChatGPT and it told me about it versus anything else. So I went and checked it out and loved it. So that's a perfect example of where that's going.
One of the criticisms of agentic AI is that, well, ChatGPT is going to become the new data broker because they're in the middle. They are in the sweet spot for collecting all kinds of buyer information that the actual vendor may not get in its entirety now. But ChatGPT will have all of that. So it could rapidly change the dynamics of marketing going forward here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think that it's just going to be another platform for advertiser to advertise. People still want to see other people. That's why Facebook, Meta's not going to, I mean, I don't know how Meta would ever even go away because of what's there. I mean, people just want to see what people are doing. We're nosy. they want to know what everybody else is doing. And so, you know, and I don't see ChatGPT doing that for people. So I just think it's going to be just another platform for us to be able to utilize and advertise. And it's just another thing to be able to add to the toolbox.
Let's talk about AI and music. I know we've had this conversation before. And for those listening in, I love to tell the story. I met Mason serendipitously at the Sad Monkey Mercantile out near Paladura Canyon. I'm not sure how that happened, but the next thing you knew, we were talking about a website that can create AI music. Tell us all about that, because I know you've had some experience with it.
Yeah. So whenever we met, we were talking about Suno, and Suno.com is what I utilize for my music. And I use it for all my clients' ads. Almost every single one that I'm doing video-wise, I use Suno to create instrumentals that are, I mean, technically they're owned by me because I have that premium service on Suno, but I don't have to go look for a song anymore. I don't have to go to artlist.io and pick a licensed song. I can literally just make something that I'm looking for right then and there. And so, I've been playing with Suno for, it'll be, I guess, 2 years now. And they've just evolved so rapidly. And the stuff that you can do with it is insane. You can upload your own music and even utilize it to cover and create new genre forms of your own songs. I actually did that. I use it to make jingles as well, like Party Stop. I use Suno to create their jingle that they have playing at like the Sod Poodle Stadium. And then they were talking about wanting their old from the 90s song that's, you know, it's kind of a play on the lollipop, lollipop, oh, lollipop. I did that for it, and I changed the tune just a little bit so I get away from that tune and put it into Suno, and then I prompted it to be a barbershop women's like group, and it sounds really good. It sounds professional. I didn't have to call anybody. It took me 5 minutes to have it covered, and I had probably 60 different generations and, you know, just a couple minutes just to go through and see which one sounds the best. And then I started using it on their ads as well.
So it's basically royalty free.
Yep.
So that you dodge a lot of bullets there.
Yep.
But when you have the premium version of Suno, and this is not an advertisement or anything, you get the copyright.
Right.
Correct?
Yep.
So my question to you then is, do you give that or sell that to the client, or do you retain it personally?
If the client was needing it, I own it technically, but there's be no problems with any of it. You can make it to where if you wanted that to be your business idea where you make the music, but you retain the ownership of it while they're with you, you could do that. or the customer is paying you to do the marketing anyways, which is how I would look at it if you're doing this for them. You could say in there that the you could say in there that the music does not belong to them. It is retained by you as the owner. But I don't know, with customers, I'm not trying to keep their jingles in my back pocket. It's theirs. I don't care. You know, I can make my own music, and that's the thing. That's the other thing. Instead of making jingles, you can make your own songs that you place on their ads that sound really good, but those songs you own outright because it doesn't have anything to do with their business.
So when you prompted this AI site to create the music, the jingle for your client here, and it creates the vocal, what did you use to create the actual lyric?
Most of the time I just write. I like to write, and I just start playing with and I'll use chat to give me some broad ideas and tell them like, hey, this is the industry. This is what I'm playing with. This is where my start is. And it'll give you some AI-ish phrases and stuff. And you're like, ugh, you know, just bad. And so you can hone that a little bit to give you some good stuff. But once you get into rhythm, if you're a songwriter or if you write poetry, this stuff really starts flowing once you're in that state. You just start flowing with it, and you can write lyrics way faster than AI spitting out garbage. Like, it's one of those things where if you can give it at least a few lines and then ask for this and then say, okay, don't use these phrases, don't use these words ever, like, all, you know, and give it some guidelines and say, this is what I'm looking for, it will start giving you way better answers.
Can you correct for mistakes in this music AI? For example, I wrote a song. I'm using air quotes here. Used ChatGPT to create the lyric, uploaded it to Suno and told it to write a rock song that has two verses and a chorus. And it gave me a guitar solo free of charge. It was very nice. I wanted hard-driving rock. Okay, but it mispronounced two things. It confused the word winds, W-I-N-D-S, with winds, which is spelled the same but pronounced differently. And then the word mesquite, which I just pronounced correctly, but it pronounced it as mesquite. Can you fix that?
Yeah, so you can absolutely. So it's so funny. The winds thing happened to me on one of the songs that I had, and all I did was go in there and change the spelling to W-E-N-D-S. And so AI phonetically wants to sing the way it's reading it. So phonetically is everything. So mesquite, I mean, you could probably just play with the spelling and get it there. You know, instead of M-E, I would do M-I, and that's probably mesquite.
So basically, you have just described a hack.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and that's another thing. Like, so if you're going to be doing, I mean, you got to think about how people actually speak. So if, you know, you're trying to create rap, I mean, you're not going to put in all the right, you know, letters. You're going to have to make it sound the way you want it to sing, phonetically spell it. So you know, it's the same thing in country. It's the same thing in all. Like, we don't speak the way English is written. We speak, you know, if I'm going to say, I'm trying to think of something. Let's see. I just was doing this yesterday. Sometimes that you hear it as spelt D-A-T. That's pretty cool. Like that right there. That's pretty cool. Really quick. And that's how you spell it in the song. Well, there's that way all the way across the board. You just have to figure out how you want it to be sung, and then you spell it phonetically. That's the hack. And AI, you can get AI to do that too. You can say, hey, here's an example. Instead of this, instead of THIS, I need it to be DIS.
Have you had any pushback from clients, or for that matter, average consumers, over the use of AI-generated music?
No. I mean, my 14-year-old, she's like, I really like your music, but everybody hates AI music. and it cracks me up because I'm like half the, like, it's funny. They actually like the music until they find out, oh, man, this is an AI artist. I can't go see him. I'm like, baby, you've never even been to a concert. What are we talking about? And so it's one of those things where, like, I mean, photographers didn't like digital photography at the beginning because everybody and their dogs were becoming digital photographers. Well, no musician wants everybody to have access to music. Nobody wants to really necessarily make it to where it's everybody and their dog can do this. But at the same time, it's making those that are talented enough to utilize it and play with it and hone their craft to make really cool stuff. And then it turns into, what do you want to do with it? And clients love it. I mean, I've even made Spanish only songs for clients who want Spanish speaking only ads. And so the song in the background is literally a Spanish song, and they don't even have those type of songs in the licensed website. So I could actually technically go into Artlist, upload my music that I'm making for that, and actually make money on it for photographers and videographers to use. It's crazy. And you can get all kinds of different artist sounds. I mean, all kinds of different things.
Have you ever created any AI images?
Oh yeah, so I do AI images and video for all kinds of different clients. Images are obviously easy to do. I use Midjourney for a lot of that. If I'm doing graphics, I'll use ChatGPT, or I think Ideogram does, like, whenever I say graphics, I'm talking like that actually have words. Midjourney just does funky things with words. I don't know why, and it'll get better later on, but they are really more tailored to realistic looking photos. And they also make it to where now you can do video inside of there, but it's not audio yet. There is Sora. I can't remember. Is it Sora?
Yeah. That's the one that's owned by ChatGPT.
I think that's the one. That's where you can do the cool with the audio and voice and all that stuff. That's really cool. I've used all those. It's a hit or miss. You still have to hone in. You have to hone in what you want. And that's another thing. Like, you can actually go to Midjourney, plug in an image, and it will tell you what it sees. And then you can use that prompt to create something, which is crazy.
I think AI imagery has a way to go still. It's notorious for some laughable errors. I've seen all too many of these on Facebook. Some supposedly vintage photos of like Route 66 from the 1950s, and it'll show all these cars driving, but there's one on the wrong side of the road about to get creamed in a head-on collision.
Yeah.
And somehow the AI missed that. And ChatGPT invited us recently to use their caricature software, and of course naturally a lot of people had to do it, and yeah, they were cute and clever and all that, but I would often see for people from this area, it would insert the gratuitous saguaro cactus. We're 10 hours from the nearest saguaro cactus.
Right.
It doesn't know that, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things where, I mean, for what it does really good for what it does. It doesn't mean that you should use everything that's on there. I use it for graphic design all the time. I used to have to call graphic designers, and now I prompt everything on Midjourney, and I'm not a graphic designer at all. But I know how to take that, plug it into Illustrator, create a vector, clean it up, and now I can blow that thing up as big as I want. And I mean, it's one of those things where there's so many different options.
My guest today has been Mason Gray of Colder Marketing. It's mind-boggling sometimes to think about how so much has changed since the 1990s, which to me still kind of feels like yesterday. Mason, thank you so much for sharing your insights, and may we all find our way through what has been one of the biggest paradigm shifts of our time. Fade to black, roll credits. You've been listening to Buff Speak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell, and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our Director of Marketing and Outreach Initiatives, which includes overseeing BuffSpeak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is Director of Accreditation and is our Technical Consultant. Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdulat is Dean of the College. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/cob for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings. Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to BuffSpeak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs! BuffSpeak.